thoughts of the child you were carrying keep pouring over in your mind. A deep, unrelenting sadness overshadows your days, and you wonder if you will ever feel whole again. There is hope and healing from a reproductive loss. Call the International Helpline, 866-482-LIFE, and talk with someone who has been where you are. Your call is confidential, and we will help you find healing. 866-482-LIFE.
Welcome to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve, Senior Pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. Now, here's Pastor Jeff.
Well, good morning, America. Alex McFarland here, not Pastor Jeff, but very honored to be with you. Oh my goodness, what a big program last night, and we're going to take your calls and get your response later in the show. And the number is 888-589-8840. I was at the Republican convention Monday through Wednesday. I watched every bit of it on TV last night, and I want to get your response to that. I mean, there was everything from an amazing speech by Eric Trump, and I talked rather extensively with Eric Trump on Wednesday morning, and I'll tell you some of the content of that conversation. And then, of course, Franklin Graham, who we all know and love, and then the speech last night, and I want to get your response to that. But right now, I'm very excited that we're going to begin the program with a conversation with Peggy Grand. She is the author of The President Will See You Now, My Stories and Lessons from Ronald Reagan's Final Years. And she was executive assistant to President Ronald Reagan for a decade, and very informed. My goodness, you know, Reagan, a lot of people now are comparing Trump to Reagan because both were the recipient of a would-be assassin's bullet. Both were leaders that were both loved and vilified. And I would say both were leaders that were very courageous. And so a lot to talk about, but I want to say what a privilege it is to speak with Peggy Grand. Thank you for being with us, and even in a larger sense, Ms. Grand, thank you for serving our country.
Well, thank you, Alex, so much for having me on the program today. It is an honor and a privilege, and it was truly an honor to serve both Ronald Reagan and President Trump in the last year of his administration as well.
Wonderful. So you were part of the Trump administration as well?
I was. I served in the last year of the Trump administration, served 10 years with President Reagan post-presidency, and I also was at the RNC convention all this week, and what a week it was.
Oh, wow. Well, I was not aware of that. I had read so much of your bio in relation to Ronald Reagan. I did not know that you also had served President Trump. It's a privilege to speak with you. Before we go too much farther, give us your website and where people can find your book.
Sure. It's peggygrande.com, peggygrande.com. Okay. And the book is available anywhere and everywhere. It's called The President Will See You Now, My Stories and Lessons from Ronald Reagan's Final Years. And it's really a character sketch of that great man that so many of us admired from afar. And I had a front row seat to his life, to his legacy. I served him for 10 years after he left the White House, working in Los Angeles in his Century City post-presidency office, and was connected with him from the time he left the White House until he passed away 15 years later, and then was very close with Mrs. Reagan as well. So 27 years of my young life was very interconnected with the Reagans, and what a privilege it was to get to know these people as people, not just as the president and the first lady of the United States.
Well, how did you get that job? And let me ask this, did you come from a political family? And if so, was it a conservative political family? Or was your work with the Reagans initially, you know, I don't want to say just a job, but was it like a lifelong passion to pursue politics and conservative politics?
Yeah, well, my family, I came from a family of educators. I grew up in Orange County, California, which was just by nature very conservative. And so I think growing up, I probably didn't even know a single Democrat. So yeah, I was raised, I guess, a Republican. But my family was not particularly politically active. You know, they voted, of course, were great people of faith. But I had a flag-waving grandma who I think taught me to really believe and love this country. And so I was one of those nerdy little kids who loved presidents and politics and government and read books in the library about the White House. But this little girl from Southern California, 3,000 miles from Washington, D.C., what are the chances you would ever have an opportunity to enter the political arena? But fast forward to college, I'm a communications major. I didn't even study political science because, again, what are the chances a woman, especially back in the day, would go into politics? But Ronald Reagan leaves the White House. He comes and opens an office not far from where I was attending university at Pepperdine. And they were looking for interns. I took a chance, wrote a letter to the office of Ronald Reagan, never knowing that that would change my life forever. So I was hired to be an intern for until I graduated from college, and then was hired on full time and stayed with him for 10 years, ultimately serving as his executive assistant, being the lucky woman who gets to sit outside his office door every single day and interface not only with him, but with the world.
Mm. Let me ask you this. In what ways, if any, and I have my own opinions on this, but in what ways would you say that Ronald Reagan and Donald J. Trump are similar?
Yeah, well, I think some of the differences are very obvious, but there are definitely some similarities. I think that they both love America and love Americans of all kinds. You know, Ronald Reagan, we picture him on the world stage, but if you know his life story, he was born basically in a wide spot in the middle of the road of central Illinois.
Exactly.
He was born into poverty. His father was an alcoholic, but his mother was a great woman of faith who taught him to believe you could do and become anything, that God had a plan and a purpose for you. And so even though he eventually left the Midwest never left him. And he always, when he was making policy and making decisions, I think thought of those people back in Dixon, Illinois. And then Donald Trump, by contrast, but also very similar in some ways, he was a billionaire, raised kind of with a silver spoon in New York. But how did he make his money? He made it working alongside bricklayers, concrete layers, plumbers, electricians, housekeepers. He knew and cared about ordinary, everyday people. And so he has a heart for America and Americans of all kinds and never forgets those people, the forgotten men and women that he always talks about. And the other thing I'll say that they're really similar about is the communication. Ronald Reagan wanted to talk directly to the American people. Back in the day, right, he did it with radio addresses and Oval Office addresses coming through into the lens of your from the lens of the camera in the Oval Office into your TV in your living room on one of those big dial three-channel TVs.
I remember.
He spoke directly to us. Not above us, not beneath us, directly to us. And I think when he came through our TV, we felt like he was talking just to us. Now, Donald Trump did it through Twitter or X, but it was the same heart of, I want to talk directly to people, not through the media. I want to say what I want to say, how I want to say it, directly to them. So those two things are very similar, I believe. And then, you know, unfortunately, we saw last week, they have become the latest two presidents to survive assassination attempts. And both of them, we almost lost. You know, Ronald Reagan, when he was shot, the bullet ricocheted off the side of the door of his limo, the presidential limo, and tumbled within nearly an eighth or a 16th of an inch of his heart. We almost lost him. And think about the timing of that. It was March of 1981. He had just been inaugurated in January. The entire Reagan revolution almost never happened within a 16th or an eighth of an inch. And very similarly, we almost lost Donald Trump last Saturday. And God saved his life for a reason.
Amen.
And I hope that we're going to look back 4 years from now and say Donald Trump's life was spared in order so that he could restore American greatness the next 4 years. And it truly was a miracle that both of these men survived, and God has a plan and a purpose in that.
Amen. I completely agree. I mean, you know, we're talking, in the case of Donald Trump, millimeters. Isn't that something?
Mm-hmm.
Millimeters, yeah, that could have literally changed history. For those just tuning in, Alex, yeah, McFarland here on the American Family Radio Network. We're speaking with Peggy Grandy, author of the book, The President Will See You Now. Her website, Peggy Grandy, PeggyGrande, Grandy.com. And, you know, let me say this to both. Here's a similarity. And I was in junior high when Reagan started his candidacy. And Peggy, at that point in my life, I really knew nothing about politics. And I was not a Christian at that point, didn't understand spiritual dynamics, and really didn't understand much about America. But I, you know, I loved America. It's a free country. But here's the thing. My junior high school teachers, and then later in high school during those years, vilified Ronald Reagan. And I couldn't understand. I was like, I mean, what do they care? We're free. We have, everybody's making money. Why do they not just respectfully disagree? I mean, it was like all of my teachers in my public high school hated Ronald Reagan. And that's a similarity too. Donald Trump, like you said, billionaire, he could be just sitting on the beach anywhere, you know, spending his last years just doing nothing. And yet, here's a guy, doesn't need money, doesn't need any notoriety or fame, and he is really willing to put his life on the line for the country. And yet there are some that don't understand, some that don't appreciate, and some that just denigrate and vilify the entire Trump family. Taking the brunt of the cynical, unappreciative left, that's a similarity between Reagan and Trump, isn't it?
It really is. And yet we look back at Reagan, and so much of the country, left, right, or independent, looks back and realizes he was one of the greatest presidents we ever had. And so hindsight is always 20/20, gives you a better perspective. And it's funny, even Republicans, I mean, remember back to 1976, Ronald Reagan was not the party's choice. In 1980, he wasn't the party's top choice. They wanted George Bush, and it right. wound up being Ronald Reagan, and the party was very divided over that in a lot of ways. But yet, we look back and think that he was one of the greatest presidents. And so perspective and the gift of time sometimes makes us look at things differently, and I truly think that Donald Trump, likewise, will go down in history as one of the greatest, most consequential presidents that we've had. Both of these men have given up a lot to be public servants. You know, Reagan maybe in a very different way. Ronald Reagan was actually in a lot of ways quite introverted, and he stepped forward with this public service mindset because he felt called by God to do so, and he felt like he could advocate and be a voice. He didn't use the language for the forgotten men and women, but felt like he could be a voice for people who didn't have a voice. And, you know, the other similarity is Ronald Reagan is the first one who used the statement, make America great again. And so it doesn't get lost on me that these two great men and presidents that I have worked for both have given up so much and put so much into the effort to rally the American people behind them to make America great. And it really, yes, it's about these two great men, these great leaders who have the potential and the capacity to rally support. But when Reagan left office after 8 years, if you asked him what he was most proud of, it wasn't his policies. It wasn't all these great things that he did, freed the hostages, you know, basically brought the Cold War to an end. The thing he said he was most proud of was that he made the American people believe in themselves again. He believed that we, the people, tell the government what to do, not the other way around. And just like Donald Trump had said in his inaugural address, he said, you know, we want to return power to the American people, the rightful owners of that power. And so I think both men left with a sense of, yes, we're in the front. Maybe we're clear on the thick brush, but we need everybody to come along behind us and to be part of not just a moment, but a movement. And we saw that during the Reagan Revolution. And even though Donald Trump has spent 4 years out of the Oval Office, I really think that he will return and be able to continue to make America great again under his leadership with the policies and principles that he's laid out. But it requires all of us to step up and be part of it.
Indeed. Peggy Grandy, you can stay with us, I hope, right?
I can. Thank you.
Thank you. We've got a brief break. Alex McFarland here, the American Family Radio Network. Later on, we will pick up the phone and get your responses to the speech to the Republican convention. The number, it'll be in the third segment, but 888-589-8840. 888-589-8840. Stay tuned.
This is Real Truth for Today. Podcasts of the program are available on the podcast page at AFR.net. Now, back to Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Alex McFarland here, by the way. If you recognize my voice, it's probably from the afternoon show Exploring the Word, which is heard 3 to 4 Central, 5 to 6 Eastern, 5 days a week. And today is Friday. We're going to have Fire Away Friday, so it's all questions all the hour this afternoon. And let me also remind everybody about our website. You know, we've got 7 summer camps this summer and 2 additional camps I'm speaking at. We wrote a first-time voter's guide. A lot of graduates, high school graduates, 18 to 21-year-old students this summer. And my website, alexmcfarland.com/vote. alexmcfarland.com/vote. And we're encouraging young people to love God and country. We've got 225 kids who were saying the Pledge of Allegiance. Charlie Kirk and I this week were outside of Milwaukee speaking to kids at a worldview camp. And in addition to teaching about biblical worldview, teaching about political science and how a constitutional republic actually works, we have kids say the Pledge of Allegiance. Many, for the first time, imagine graduating high school and for the first time kids getting introduced to the Pledge of Allegiance. And so we've got video of kids saying the pledge, and it's an exciting time, folks, for God and country, and we want you to be a part of it. But check out my website, alexmcfarland.com/vote. Well, right now, very excited to be speaking with Peggy Grandy. And Ms. Grandy, it really is an honor to have you on. And there are just 5,000 things I want to ask you. And before we get back into the conversation, I want to talk about your book. But give your website, if you would, the book or books you have written and where people may find those.
Sure. Thanks again for having me on. My name is Peggy Grandy, and so my website's peggygrandy.com, peggygrandy.com. The book I wrote several years ago is called The President Will See You Now, My Stories and Lessons from Ronald Reagan's Final Years, a character sketch of this great man after he left the White House until he left the public eye. What was it like? What was he like? And if you've ever wanted to know what Ronald Reagan was really like, I encourage you to pick up my book because you'll get a front row seat to his life and the person that he was.
You know, I've had the privilege of meeting Donald Trump on a few occasions, never met Reagan. I did vote for Reagan. The first time I was ever able to vote was as he was running for his second term. But here's something that I notice about both men, and I'd love for you to comment if you would. Having worked for both, as you have done, both men, very, very jovial, happy, joyful people. And here's one of the differences I've noticed, that conservatives are often criticized for, you know, believing in moral truth, and conservatives are rigid and things like that. And yet, Trump, Reagan, both very joyful people, even in the spite of adversity, even in the face of being criticized. And on the other hand, in general, liberals, Democrats, and I've debated many, I've been around many, but they pride themselves on freedom, and, you know, we really champion just freedom and democracy. And yet they're very negative, not happy people as a rule. Speak to that if you would. Trump and Reagan both, you knew them both, you know them both. But they appear to be so upbeat and positive, didn't they?
Absolutely. And I think in the case of both men, what you see is what you get. It's also interesting that both of them come from an entertainment background. And so perhaps there's this constant awareness of your audience, that people are watching. What do you want them to see? And not that it's a show and that it's put on, but they're mindful that as a leader, people are always watching. And so the way you live your life, if you live your life in a consistent way, you want people, whether the cameras are rolling or not rolling, to see you in a way that will be consistent. Both of these men were happy warriors. And you're right, there was a lightness to their heart and to the way they presented themselves, but that should not be confused with a lack of resolution or resolve. And they both showed you can be strong and successful. You can also be a kind, good person at the same time. And at the RNC convention, there were so many stories behind the scenes, little snippets of windows into Donald Trump's life and the kindness he has extended to the people around him. And, you know, Reagan maybe wore his smile on his sleeve a little bit more. Donald Trump kind of likes that stern face and so that you know he means business. But there is, to your point, a lightness in their heart. They're happy warriors. And I think that's contagious. People like following people like that who take joy, not in the fight, but in getting things done and in making a positive impact and in moving people and projects in a direction that is positive. And I see them both as being able to enlist a lot of great support on their side because they do have that enthusiasm. I mean, everybody likes to work for a happy leader instead of a grumpy one. And, you know, right. To your point, also, the left is all about division and hate and being toxic. And so it's really refreshing when you hear somebody speak about the future in glowing, patriotic, and inspiring ways. And both of those men certainly do that. Donald Trump did a lot of that this week. And, you know, a brush with death can't help but change you. And we certainly think we saw a very changed Donald Trump this week, not lessening his resolve, but maybe softening his spirit a little bit.
You know, Peggy, as I was there, and I was doing a lot of radio and a lot of media, and on the first night there on some of the mezzanines and around the lobbies, there were people praying. And somebody asked me yesterday, you know, what was it like? And I said, well, and I'm not overstating the case. If your impressions are different, feel free to disagree. I said, it felt like a revival meeting. I was down on the floor in the media pit the night that Ted Cruz spoke and Marco Rubio, and I was like literally up against the stage. And I mean, it was like a camp meeting. People were happy. People were cheering, praying, listening. I've got some other impressions. I spoke with a group there called Jews for Trump. There were many, many, many African-American delegates and just joyful, happy people. But am I overstating it, Peggy? Didn't the RNC this week seem like a revival meeting or something?
I think I referred to it yesterday on media as MAGA summer camp.
Yeah, exactly.
It had that feeling of camaraderie and fun, and yet we are very aware of the hard work that we need to do.
For me, it was
almost surreal. I'm from Southern California and very liberal blue area. And yet in Milwaukee this week, you would walk around town and you'd see people in restaurants and sitting out in front of coffee shops wearing their MAGA hats, wearing Trump gear. And I'm thinking, I have never seen an experience like this in LA. You just would not see this. And so everywhere you looked, though, there were people who thought like you and were there for the same reasons. But the first night, Monday, in the arena, there was something just electric, magical and, you know, miraculous, if I can say it, about Donald Trump showing up that night. We know we came so close to losing him, and this week and the future of our country and the world would have looked incredibly different. We were celebrating the fact that we got to welcome him there, that we were celebrating the fact that this movement gets to continue and that we all get to be part of it together. And it wasn't lost on me, not only that Donald Trump showed up that night, which was incredible. I mean, he had every excuse to stay home in bed, stay out of the public light, and, you know, maybe just show up on Thursday or do it by Zoom. Nobody would have faulted him for that. He showed up. He showed up, and it enlivened that place. It made our hearts so happy, because it's one thing to see him on TV. It's another thing to see him there and to realize he had risen triumphant from this attack in a, you know, fist-raising, defiant moment. The other thing, though, that I noticed that really made a statement to me, it was not only that he showed up, which in and of itself was just really miraculous and incredible, but it was when he showed up. And if you notice in the program, the when he showed up was when everyday, ordinary American people were speaking. It wasn't when the GOP important people were speaking. It was when ordinary people were telling extraordinary stories. They were talking about what the Biden-Harris policies have done to their life, to their business, to their schools, to their kids, to their families. So he made a statement not only by showing up, but showing up then. And that was not lost on us. And he was making a statement, the forgotten men and women are forgotten no more. I see you. I'm going to fix this.
Yeah. You know, great leaders understand the power of presence. And it's not an ego thing, but I'm trying to think, was it like in 2018? But it was on Christmas Day, then President Donald Trump and Melania went to Iraq to visit the troops. Christmas Day.
Yes.
And again, could have been in New York City at Trump Tower around the Christmas tree, goes to Iraq, and I remember it was just so powerful. There he was, and it was such a morale booster. And one of the soldiers shouted, you're the reason I've re-enlisted. And just like you said, when he showed up at the convention, and folks, let me just tell you, the applause moved my soul to hear all of that. And it's not about blind, you know, being a fan of a human. Look, our hope is in God. But I love this nation. And folks, if you're listening right now, I pray that you will vote. I beg of you, everyone listening to this program, and we've got a guest on, Peggy Grandy, who has served our country by serving two of our presidents, Reagan and Trump. I beg of you, folks, do not just be cynical and apathetic and uninvolved. We're talking about the place we will live until we die, America, liberty, the greatest nation. What we have in America is a gift from God. The fact that President Trump, now candidate Trump, did not die Saturday, July 13. I mean, one or two millimeters and he would not be here. Look, we have an opportunity laid in our laps to cherish and value and help perpetuate the United States of America. Peggy, I don't mean to talk so much, but like you say, it was very heartening, moving when Trump showed up. Like you say, he could have done the minimal and showed up just to give a speech last night, but he was there throughout the whole week.
He was.
Yeah. He's invested.
To your point, yes, we have so much to be grateful for here in America, and we enjoy our freedom, but we need to be lights that share that freedom. And it also gives us an opportunity to share the Lord Jesus all around the world, to be lights in so many ways. And I know a lot of Christians who don't want to engage in the political arena, and they say, well, I'm not really into politics. I got news for you. Politics is into you. It is into your schools. It is into your girls' locker rooms. It is into your bank account and your grocery store and your gas tank. Politics is into you. And so as we as people, as we as people of faith, are we willing to relinquish all leadership to the ungodly? I'm not. And, you know,
Amen.
It's interesting, people judge from the outside and, you know, they look at Donald Trump and all the terrible things they said about him and about the people who worked for him. I have to tell you, working for Donald Trump in the administration, I met so many incredible men and women of faith. There were prayers being launched from offices and rooms all over that White House campus and across his administration every day. There were groups of women getting together and praying. There were offices that were full of prayer and scripture. There were godly people who served in that administration. And I am so grateful for that and for those people. And anybody who's listening, if they have a desire to serve in the next administration, there is a place for them. We need the faithful. We need the godly, because we have an opportunity not only to be a beacon of freedom around the world, but we have an opportunity to be a beacon of God's love and light all around the world because we are a free nation. And so I would encourage anybody who has sat on the fence and wondered whether or not Christianity and politics belong together. Politics is doing a lot of the dictating to Christianity these days. I think it's time for Christians to stand up and make their voices heard as well.
Yeah. You know, I would love to know your thoughts on who will be the Democrat nominee. I mean, do you think Biden will remain the Democrat nominee?
He's certainly getting a lot of pressure to bow out. You know, I thought he would stay in. He had really dug in his heels. This COVID diagnosis and just seeing the frailty by which he practically crawled up the stairs to Air Force One, I think we're going to know a lot more in the next few days. But he's very stubborn, and he has been very committed to staying in the race. And regardless of how many people tell him he should get out, if he and Jill Biden and Hunter Biden don't want him to go anywhere, he may dig in his heels. But I think we're going to know very clearly in the next few days. But really, at the end of the day, it doesn't really matter. Whether it's Joe Biden, whether it's Kamala Harris, whether it's Gavin Newsom, Gretchen Whitmer, you name the list, their policies are wrong. Their policies are harming Americans. Their policies are making life more expensive and less safe. So whether it's Joe Biden or any other progressive
hang tight,
on the left,
hang tight. Peggy, can you stay with us through one more segment?
Sure.
Can you stay? Hang tight, folks. Alex McFarland, Peggy Grandy, AFR, we're back after this.
You've heard a lot about saving babies on this show. That's because it's important to me personally. And let me just be frank with you. We need to save them. That's why we've partnered with Preborn, the nation's leader in introducing mothers with unplanned pregnancies to their babies. And once she hears that heartbeat and sees that precious life growing inside of her, she is twice as likely to choose life. Now that's a miracle. But quite honestly, if we don't save them, who will? Preborn receives no government funding, so their work is completely dependent on you and me. Preborn has rescued over 280,000 babies. And that's not all. They provide love, support, and counseling for up to 2 years for free, saving lives and souls. One ultrasound is just $28, or 140 helps rescue 5 babies' lives. Abortion doesn't stop, so we can't either. Together, you and I can save lives. Just call #250 on your cell and say the keyword baby. That's 250 baby, or go to preborn.com. That's preborn.com.
If you'd like to contact Pastor Jeff, email pastorjeff@fromhisheart.org. Now, back to Real Truth for Today with Pastor Jeff Shreve.
Alex McFarland here, sitting in for Jeff Shreve. Very honored to do that. Doubly honored speaking with Peggy Grandy, author of The President Will See You Now. If you have a question, whether it's a question about the convention or Trump's speech last night, but for our guest, Peggy Grandy, the number is 888-589-8840, toll-free nationwide across America. What do you think about how Christians should be politically involved? I agree with Peggy that we should vote. We should not just cede the leadership to people that don't understand or care about America or godly. The number 888-589-8840. Peggy, your book, I'm sure you met many amazing people. Anybody of all of your work for the Reagans and for President Ronald Reagan, The President Will See You Now. I mean, what a great book title. Who were some of the people that were in the lobby that you ushered into Reagan's office for the meeting? Some of the world leaders with whom you interacted?
Yeah, the people that I got to say, the president will see you now, as I motioned to them to walk into the office. Well, you're asking me to name drop, so I will. I mean, it was everybody from
absolutely
Mikhail Gorbachev, you know, who really does have a big birthmark on his head, Margaret Thatcher, Mother Teresa, every president and first lady, prime ministers and kings from all around the world who came during those post-presidency years. And what's really interesting is none of these people had to come for protocol or diplomatic reasons. He was a former president of the United States, so he couldn't do anything for them. They came because they liked him. They had a relationship and a friendship with him that they wanted to continue. And so they loved this person and liked being with him. And it was really, there were several pinch me moments where I thought, with the camera around my neck, as I'm taking pictures, which are in my book, as his photographer, his personal assistant, we wore lots of hats in his very small post-presidential office. But yeah, there were those moments when I thought, oh my goodness, this is Mother Teresa. This is Gorbachev. This is Margaret Thatcher. And how on earth does a little girl from Southern California get plucked from obscurity and dropped in a room like this? I'm really grateful. I'm very grateful. God has given me incredible blessings and opportunities, and I always want to be a good steward of those.
Amen. Amen. Well said. Just curious, how about Billy Graham? Did you ever meet Billy Graham?
I did. He came into the office several times, and in fact, one very special moment, and it almost makes me tear up when I think of it. He came to the office one day, and I was pregnant with my second child, and as I was walking him out of the office after his meeting with President Reagan, he looked at my stomach, and he said, tell me about, are you having a baby soon, you know? And I told him I was expecting a daughter fairly soon, and he asked if he could pray for me and pray for that baby. And putting his hand on my shoulder, it was such a special moment. And all of my children, I'm a mother of four, I'm a grandmother of two, but I always tell that daughter of mine that, you know, she got blessed that day by Billy Graham personally, and what a very special moment I treasure.
Amen. Amen. We're speaking with Peggy Grandy, author of The President Will See You Now. We're going to go to our first call. This is Linda in South Carolina. Linda, thanks for calling and welcome to the American Family Radio Network.
Thank you. In light of being a Christian, which I am thankful and praise the Lord for that, how can we rally the troops for Trump? I do see a change in him since his close encounter with death, but because of the Republican platform, there are some folks that are saying, I can't vote for him. So what can we as Christians do to kind of rally the troops for Trump?
Good question. Peggy, how would you answer that?
Well, I think regardless of the platform, we're never going to agree entirely with one person. That goes for anybody, whether they're in our family or a political leader. We're not electing this man to be the Pope, our Sunday school teacher, our moral compass. We're electing somebody who we want to lead the nation and keep us safe. And this is a man who cares about keeping us safe, who loves this country. And I think that is criteria enough. We're always going to disagree. But, you know, Reagan always said, instead of arguing over 1,000 things that we disagree upon, let's look at the 1 or 2 things that we agree upon. Let's lean into those. Let's focus on those and use those as the starting point for a relationship or a foundation of our relationship that will continue. So people are going to disagree, of course, with certain aspects of Donald Trump. But when you look at the alternative, who do we have more in common with? Who is going to advocate for our point of view? Who has done so much to protect Christians, to protect the unborn, to protect, persecuted Christians all around the world and even those here in the States? And so nobody's ever going to have it perfectly right, but let's align behind the person who is most likely to protect our freedoms, because we see the left is eroding them every single day.
Great. A great question. A great answer. Linda, thank you very much. Going to go to Texas. Terry in Texas, thanks for holding. Welcome to the American Family Radio Network. Our very special guest, Peggy Grandy. Terry, you're on.
Good morning. And I appreciate your ministry and your program. I listen every morning. And I just wanted to say that I've listened the RNC every night, and I was truly moved by what seemed to me a pivotal change towards pride in our Christianity, not being afraid to speak of the King of Kings and Lord of Lords, giving God the glory, the fact that our commander-in-chief said it was God that spared him. To me, that is a big change into what we've been more or less silent. People are afraid to say anything. They're afraid to offend anyone. I'm a Gold Star mom. Last Saturday was my son's 5-year anniversary. And he was killed in Afghanistan. And I really, really appreciate, you can't begin to understand how much I appreciate Trump as a commander-in-chief and his heart and his feelings and thoughts and attention, acknowledgement to our military and Gold Star families, first responders, law enforcement. And to see those 13 families being able to get up and say and speak from their heart how they felt and how it affected them to, for their children to be abandoned by the leader of their country that they're fighting for. I was just so proud that they were allowed to speak for the first time and have heartfelt acknowledgement for their loss. And I believe, like you were saying, Trump's not perfect. Neither am I. Neither is my pastor. My pastor happens to be my brother. My dad was a preacher and a pastor, and my grandfather was a preacher and a pastor. And I can tell you firsthand, none of us are perfect, but I think he's perfect for the job. And
well said. Hand.
And I think he's perfect for such a time as this. And we need to get behind him. And like Ms. Grandy was saying, and the major points that conservatives believe in, he believes in. I don't look at his past. I don't look at Apostle Paul's past. I don't look at King David's past. I don't look at a lot of people in the Bible, their past. It's what they did while serving the Lord and having a heart for God. And I'm excited. I felt, like I said, a transition. And I just love the fact that he got up and was ready to go. He didn't lick his wounds or want sympathy or look what they did to me. He didn't even mention, you know, the name, his opponent. And that takes a lot of grace. And I saw a change in his demeanor, his, I think even his attitude, his expressions. I think he, if you look at, you know, kind of had a come to Jesus meeting with that bullet. And
Terry, in the interest of time, I'm going to have to take another call. First of all, I want to say thank you for calling. May the Lord bless you, a Gold Star mom. Peggy, would you agree? What a great line. She said, Trump is not perfect, but he's perfect for this job. That they should use that.
I love it. I wrote it down. And, you know, Terry, if we could, what was your son's name? Because it was so important this week to say the names and to remember those people. And thank you for his sacrifice and service and for your family. And we're so sorry for your loss. But can we say his name?
Yes. Sergeant Major James Gregory Ryan Sarter. We called him Ryan. And he was highly decorated in 18 and a half years. Had 120 Green Berets under him. But most of all, what I'm most proud of is his Christian legacy as a man and husband and father. He was, his men came at the funeral, and every one of them told the story of how he influenced them for eternity and for the future. And I am so proud of that.
And where did he die, Terry?
Afghanistan.
Afghanistan. Blessings. Peggy, this is serious stuff here. You know, so many on the left are very glib and cavalier about America and preserving our country. But let's remember, like Terry's son and so many countless others. I spoke once at the Punch Bowl Cemetery in Hawaii, the National Cemetery of the Pacific Theater. This nation was purchased by the blood of patriots, wasn't it, Peggy?
Yeah, it was. And we need to continue to honor and remember those people and honor his service and sacrifice and so many others. And, you know, Ronald Reagan always believed that in America, we have the freedom to believe what we want. And so we need to be unapologetic about what we believe, because the left can believe what they want. They can spew all the toxins and poisons out of their mouth that they want. So we need to be speaking truth. We need to be speaking light. We need to be unapologetic about what we believe and what we have been called to do and to say on this land.
Terry, thank you so much on so many levels.
Thank you, Terry.
Let's go to Jim in Arkansas. Jim, thanks for holding and welcome to our conversation with Peggy Grandy.
Yes. I got a question and maybe you can help me. I lost a 15-year-old in 1995, and it devastated me. How or what can I say to people that about murdering babies, abortion? What can I say to them to let them know that it's wrong? The Word of God, it's murder. What can I say?
Well, as a Christian, I would say that we know God's word is very clear. The sixth commandment, thou shalt not murder. But as an American, one of the reasons that I'm pro-life is because abortion is unconstitutional. The penumbra of rights, the inalienable rights, meaning they can't legitimately be taken away, the first most foundational right is the right to life. I had a friend, he was a vehement atheist, Christopher Hitchens. We debated, but even the atheist Christopher Hitchens said that abortion is unconstitutional because our Constitution guarantees people the right to life. Jim, blessings on you, and thank you for being willing to engage people. Final call, and then we're going to wrap up our conversation with Peggy Grandy. But Ron in Michigan, thanks for holding. Welcome to the program.
Thank you, Alex. Thanks for taking my call. I do indeed want to be apologetic and encourage other Christians to do the same. I've been hearing in a couple of speeches in watching the convention that he, meaning Donald Trump, doesn't care if you're gay or straight. Doesn't matter. Well, but it does to our God. And when it comes to the sanctity of life, he cares about that also. So I've been hearing that the platform has been kind of watered down a little bit. That's concerning. So, yeah, I agree. It's nice to hear reference to God, that it was divine intervention. But I'm going to stand on God's truth. There is only one truth. And just very quickly, Alex, the number one transmitter of the HIV virus which of course leads to AIDS, is men committing the act of sodomy with other men. And I don't know how anybody calls that love. So I'll just stop there.
Hey, thanks very much. But let me encourage you, Ron. We've got to get our nation saved. And in no way, while there are going to be constitutionalist Christians that vote, there are going to be people that vote that are wildly erratic in their beliefs. Just because somebody doesn't measure up to everything that we believe or stand for doesn't mean that we shouldn't fight for the saving of our country. And the best hope for that right now, in my personal opinion, is the re-election of Donald J. Trump. Peggy Grande, may we reconvene? You're so fascinating. You've got so much rich information. I want to thank you for being with us today. It's gone by too quickly, but let's speak again soon. May we?
Thank you, Alex, for having me on. Of course, I would love to anytime.
Give us your website one more time.
PeggyGrande.com, and the book is The President Will See You Now, My Stories and Lessons from Ronald Reagan's Final Years.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.